dead mouse. I'll fix it before it starts stinking.
Good afternoon, sir, and what is your name, sir?
My name's Richard Rivera.
Mr. Rivera.
Okay, that's right.
Who's going to do him?
That's me.
That's Mr. Neal. This whole answer, any other Mr. Neal will be with you shortly, sir.
All right.
Okay, so, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right, would you state your full name and agency number for the record, please?
Richard Vasquez Olvera, 144506.
Thank you, sir. You're playing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon in reference to your community supervision application. I'm going to introduce the board members that will conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Joe Rittenhouse. In the middle is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. To the far right is the Honorable Larry Canales. My name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead today. Also in the room with us, we have the Honorable Mr. Rusty from the Department of Corrections, and I also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. You remember that form?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm informed you are notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
Myself.
Okay. This time I'm going to swear you and Mr. Rusty in. So if you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you yourself in?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Your hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, you will determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. Then in phase two, if they've been violated, you will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So what I'm going to do for phase one is I'm going to read the two allegations that are on your warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask if it's true or false. Allegation number one is a violation of order of condition of supervision number seven, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on or about January 8, 2019, for the task lab report dated January 9, 2019. Is that true or false, sir?
True.
Okay, allegation number two is a violation of condition number five, as demonstrated by your possession of a vehicle that was reported stolen and did not belong to you on or about January 27, 2019 for the Mesa Police Department in Maricopa County. That true or false, sir?
False.
False. Okay. Because you say it's false, we're going to go to Mr. Rusty, and he's going to give some more information about that allegation, sir.
All right.
Okay, Mr. Rusty.
The Mesa Police Department police report on January 27, 2019, at approximately 0233 hours, Officer Lininger 2417 was dispatched to 144 East 7th Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, in reference to a vehicle crashing into a wall. The reporting party stated that someone was knocking on his door, but he did not talk to them. The reporting party stated he went to the dispatch location and would wait inside for police contact. From the comment statement of the reporting party called about a single vehicle accident with vehicle plate of AZBWG 7419. The registered owner of the vehicle returned 62 East 7th Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And the reporting party later identified as Mary Flores called and stated someone had taken the vehicle. Upon arrival, Officer Leninger observed a red Nissan Sentra, Arizona, EWG 7419, penetrating the outer perimeter wall of the residence at 144 East 7th Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, 85210. The registered owner of the vehicle was later identified as Mary Flores. While looking into the vehicle, Officer Lininger observed no one was in the vehicle and the vehicle was running with the keys in it. While looking around the area, Officer Lininger observed two suspects down the street, one walking back towards the scene of the accident. Officer Lininger made contact with the female subject, who appeared to be highly impaired. She was having trouble standing still, slurring speech, and had bloodshot, watery eyes. Officer Lininger asked the female, who was later identified as Vanessa Mendoza, that she was involved in an accident tonight. Originally, Vanessa told Officer she was not, and then admitted to being in the vehicle. Officer Leninger asked Vanessa if she was in the car, pointing near 62 East 7th Avenue, Mesa, Arizona, 85210, and she said yes. Officer Leninger asked Vanessa who was in the vehicle with her, and she stated she did not know. Officer Leninger asked where the mail went, and she stated left or right, she didn't know. Officer Leninger then detained Vanessa while the investigation was conducted. Officer Leninger contacted Gabriel Gomez, or Gomez, the offender's brother. He stated that he had been drinking with Richard Alvera and his girlfriend Vanessa. Gabriel stated that Richard took off with the car. Officer Leninger then contacted the subject, who reported the vehicle involved was stolen. The reporting party was later identified as Mary Flores and asked Mary about her car, and she stated everyone was over and when she was woken up, someone had taken the car. Officer Leninger asked Mary if Richard was involved, and she stated he was. She said her son told her that he had taken it. Officer Leninger asked where Richard was, and she stated she was in the backyard, or he was in the backyard, knocking on the door, but ran, and she did not know where he went. She stated Gabriel advised her someone had taken the car, and when she went outside, it was gone. Initially, Mary said that she did not see who had taken it. Mary said she then called the dispatch to report it stolen. Officer Leninger asked Mary if anyone was supposed to have her vehicle. She said no. Officer Leninger asked if Richard had taken it, and she said yes. Officer Leninger asked Mary if Richard had a license, and she said no, but he was working on it. Officer Leninger asked Mary if no one was supposed to be driving the vehicle because the insurance was canceled, and she said yes. She stated no one was supposed to be driving the vehicle, especially Richard. Officer Leninger asked Mary if she was under prosecution for the theft of her vehicle, and she said she had to. Officer Leninger advised Mary of the stolen vehicle affidavit and had her print her name in a required place and then sign the affidavit. Officer Leninger advised Mary the vehicle was totaled and would have to be towed. Follow-up. The offender was arrested by Mason PD on February 1st, 2019 and booked into MCSO for theft of means of transportation and failing to stay at an accident.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Okay, so we normally look for a police report number on the warrant to indicate that there might be some pending charges. So before I ask you any questions about the allegation itself and the details, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Westby, do you have any information about the charges, whether there's any pending charges?
Yes, I received an email dated March 12, 2019 from Anthony Oliveri stating regarding new charges were not filed by county attorney and he was transferred to DOC on February 12, 2019.
Okay, you said the charges were not filed?
Yes, it says charges were not filed by the county attorney.
Okay. So apparently there's no pending charges, is that correct, sir? As far as you know, there's no pending charges with this allegation?
Yes, sir. They said that it was highly likely I would be convicted of that. It wasn't me.
Okay, well, no, I mean, the thing is, if there's pending charges, even if it wasn't you know, and I'll have to, if there was a pending criminal trial, we would allow you to take the fifth and not answer any questions if you didn't want to. But so apparently, as far as I can tell, there was no pending charges. They didn't file on it based on that information. And I can see why. When I was taking stolen vehicle reports, I wouldn't have even taken a report on it. I'm sorry. But anyway, so what you're saying is false about it is you weren't the driver of the car.
So, yes, I wasn't in the car at all.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's, if you were driving, you would be in trouble. If you were just riding in the car, it's not, you know, you're not the culprit, so to speak.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'm going to move this into phase two, and we can have a little bit more discussion then, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion based strictly on allegation number one, and which would include Mr. Alvaro's testimony and the information from TASC as well as DOC. And based on that allegation, I am going to move to find that Mr. Alvaro was delinquent as he violated term condition of the supervision, and that he may have lapses or backlapses in the criminal ways for company. And by that motion, I do move to not find him in violation of allegation number two. And that would be my motion.
Second.
Okay, so motion was by myself, second by Mr. Canales. Agreed by Dr. Wright and Ms. Whitney. Okay, sir. So that you understand that in my motion, I move to find that you are not in violation of a second allegation. And that basically, I don't feel there's enough probable cause to believe that you were the driver of that vehicle when the accident happened. There's just not enough information there. Okay, so now, so that's going to put us, I'm going to go to a summary of the case supervision, sir. I guess you were originally released homeless.
Yes.
But you established residence with Monique Ortiz?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you couldn't reside with Monique and establish residency with Jennifer Pinal, I believe?
Yes.
Okay, in Tempe. Then on January 10, 2019, you stated you could not reside with Jennifer anymore and establish residence with your mother, Maria. And did you,
yes, sir.
Did you stay with your mother again until you were violated?
Yes, sir. The reason I wasn't able to live with Jennifer anymore, the stuff that happened, I got stabbed in prison. So when I got out, somebody seen me, and they came and beat me up on the street. So I told my people about that, and I told her I'm going to move with my mom. She said it was all right.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt this. I forgot something. Normally, before we actually start the discussion on phase two, Mr. Westby will give us some background information. So hang on, and he can give some background information, and we'll continue this. Mr. Westby, I apologize.
Just don't want to disparage you.
December 6, 2019, Mr. O'Meara was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested February 1st, 2019 by Mesa PD on a felony charge of theft of means of transportation and misdemeanor charge of failure to stay out of accident. He was back in DOC custody February 12, 2019, with a projected community supervision end date of February 6, 2021, 0 abstentions. Current conviction, 2005, aggravated assault, 2 counts, each for 10 and a half years. 2005, misconduct in violent weapons, 5 years. His prior convictions in 1999, theft, 2 counts, count 1 year, count 2 1.5 years. In 2000, narcotic drug violation, 3.5 years. This is his third term in DOC, CUIR score 5.5, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 2. STG gang information notes, he's an admitted member of the Eastside Garfield Criminal Street Gang and a New Mexican Mafia STG suspect. Prior terms of supervision, 2000, TIS release, arrested on a felony, remote. 2003, TIS release of Snander, 156 days, revoked by the BOAC. His disciplinary violations are significant with drugs, alcohol, disorderly conduct, weapons, and violence noted. Other arrest, 1994, theft, Arizona, juvenile probation. His community risk score is a G7B9.
Thank you, sir. Okay, now we'll continue. I apologize for that, sir. I got ahead of myself. Okay, so did you have any employment while you were there,
sir? Yes, I did. I worked at Ellison Springing in Chandler. I was fired because I had no way to get over there. I only worked for 4 or 5 days, and I couldn't get no. I asked everybody to give me rides, and they did. And after the 4 or 5 days, I was in the medium of life, and I had no money for a bus pass or anything, so I ended up getting fired.
Okay, did you look for any other employment?
So I put in so many applications online, going into stores everywhere, and then all this happened. That was the first time in my life I've ever had a job.
Okay, so, well, it's unfortunate that you couldn't get there and continue the job.
Yeah.
So, for programming, you were assigned a task, and you were assigned on the 6th of December. On the 21st of December, you got negative. And then on the 8th of January 2019, you were positive for marijuana. So, do you have a problem with marijuana on a regular basis, sir?
Sir, no, I don't live there. I got extreme PTSD. I've been stabbed 17 times in prison. I've been shot 2 times on the streets. I see people in cars looking at me all the time. I don't know. They come to me down. That's what it is.
Okay, well,
I don't have a problem.
Let me ask you this. I believe you, and I believe you have PTSD. Have you sought any mental health treatment there while you've been incarcerated?
No. When I got out, I was referred to Taylor's to go get a psych eval, but all this happened. I was supposed to be on the 11th of February, and I didn't make it, so.
Okay, well, what about there in prison? Because they do psych evaluations.
Yes, sir. The medical here is pretty bad, but I was on medication for a little while before I went home, and then I went home.
Oh, okay. So you did seek help inside, and they had you on medication to help you with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, and then when you get out, with everything else going on, you ran out of meds, and now you're in a bad situation with that. So,
yeah.
Did you think about getting a medical marijuana card?
Yes, sir. Like I said, I had no money. I came out to nothing, absolutely nothing. You know what I mean? And
okay. Well, I mean, maybe your mother would have helped you or something like that. I'm just looking at the different options and everything. And you say you didn't get to, you hadn't gotten the tariffs yet. They're pretty good at an organization to deal with. So for the marijuana, when you tested positive, your PO sent you to the CHC program, right? Is that what that was? No. Yeah, you went to CHC before you tested positive. Okay, well.
Yeah, before. Yeah.
Okay. But you completed what they assigned you there? Or it just says that you had 1 hour of counseling.
I only got to go 1 hour, and then I was supposed to go to any of my terrors, and like I said, all this stuff happened. And
okay.
So,
when Mesa arrested you, how long did you stay in jail before you were back on the
street? 2 or 3 days.
Okay, so you went through yours?
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Okay. Did you go from jail back to DOC? Okay. So you weren't released back on the street. Okay.
No, sir.
All right. I was looking at the timing and all this stuff. Okay. I'm gonna see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions. All right. So we're nearing the end of your hearing. We're going to be going into discussion to make a determination shortly, but before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else you'd like to tell the board, now would be the time.
All right. I appreciate all of you guys' time, and this is the first time I've been in prison for a very long time, even before 05, before I got these charges. I've been here since 99, and it's been a long time. I got out, I enrolled in college to AIU. I had a job, but I lost my job, but that was my first job ever. And because because I didn't have transportation. It's all my fault for not having transportation. I do what I do to put myself in that situation, you know, by being in prison and doing the crap that I did in the past. But I'm trying my best. I don't got too many resources. I got people that are there for me, but I can't go and depend on them to help me, you know, exponentially. Only to a certain degree they can, so. But like I said, I appreciate you guys' your time, and I hope I get, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir.
Alright, thank you.
Okay, the board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're aggressive, but we won't be, but stay on the phone. Just remain silent, and once we've made a determination, I'll get back to you, okay?
Alright.
Well, the board is going into discussion. Now, this is definitely an unfortunate and confusing case. Mr. Lara seems to want to take care of his mental health issues and try to straighten out his life. The circumstance with the get together and the car missing and everything, I don't know. It does sound like he may have been drinking that day and that sort of stuff. I'm torn. I think that, you know, the real violation and allegation is just one time with marijuana, but I think that Mr. Alvarez needs some long-term mental health care to get moved to this PTHD, and I just don't think he's going to be successful in trying that on his own outside. So based on that, I just have real difficulty seeing him as a good candidate for return to community supervision. But I'd like to hear a discussion from my fellow board members if there is any. Okay. So based on all the information in warrant number 2019W0281, Mr. Alvarez's testimony and the information from the Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Alvarez. He was delinquent, violated terms of additional supervision, and had lapse, was about to lapse in a criminal race or company.
Second.
Okay. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canales, agreed by Mr. White, agreed by Mr. Woodhouse. Okay, Mr. Alvarez, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. I know that doesn't sound like what you wanted to hear, but I think that based on everything we've heard today, that you would be better served getting mental health treatment from DOC, because at least there, under those controlled circumstances, you can get a handle on it for a while. When you get out without your meds and everything, it all went to naught, and that I just, as one voting member, that was my reasoning. I think you would be better served getting some treatment while you're in, trying to get everything stabilized and make a plan for your future, because you're probably going to need ongoing treatment when you get out. And there are organizations out there that you could apply to and probably get some ongoing treatment and get yourself ready to go, okay? So, I'm sorry that's not what you wanted to hear today, but that's unfortunately the way it is. So this is going to end your hearing, sir, and if you put the CO3 back on the phone, please.
Yes, hold on. Thank you.